is it? Some people are saying grace. It's actually roots. But I get it. I can get why you'd call it grace, because we have not moved off of grace ever since we talked about it, probably about 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. I don't know. But I believe with all my heart, people are being blessed by it. People are being blessed by it. And today is no different. Today is no different in the sense of what I'm going to bring to you. And as is our normal custom in this series, I'm going to spend just a few minutes at the beginning reviewing, and then we'll bring into the new stuff. Are you guys ready for some new stuff? Let me ask you this morning, if you know the answer, shout it out. If you don't, be quiet. The answer is yes, I am. Are you righteous? Yes. All right, all right. You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, right? Yeah, absolutely. Are you a sinner? The answer is no. Are you a sinner?
No.
Now, if you don't have Jesus in your life, if he's not your Savior, then you are. But if you are born again, guess what? You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. That's right. Praise God. So we are in this series, and really this series was not intended to just focus on grace, but since we're focusing on it, man, we're blowing it up. And this week, I'm telling you, this week, I'm probably going to teach you some things that you've not been taught before. I promise you that. Promise you that. Because, let's just get right into it. Well, we've talked about what grace is not. Grace is not a covering for rebellious or willful disobedience, right? Right? You can't say, I'm under grace, therefore I can live any way I want to. No, that's not true. Grace is not being God going light on sin. And again, over the last several weeks, we've talked about these, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in these. This is just to bring everybody up to speed. Grace is not God going light on sin. How many of you know our sin cost Jesus his life 2,000 years ago? Amen? All right, here's the last one. Grace is not an excuse for us in our bad behaviors. Right? Well, we're under grace, so therefore God doesn't care how we live. No, here's the reality. The reality is you're under grace, and since you're under grace, God has broken sin off of your life so you can live freely for him. So you can't say, well, I can live any way I want to because I'm under grace. No, no, no. If you're saying that, you don't have a true understanding of the grace of God. The grace of God has set you free, not held you captive to your sin. Amen. All right. So now we talked about grace. What is grace by definition? Keros, it means unearned or what? Unmerited favor, which means you don't earn it. I mean, you know, if it's unearned, unmerited favor, you don't earn it. Right? So how do you get it, Pastor Charlie? You believe on what Jesus did. When you believe what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, then grace flows into your life. That's what the Bible teaches. We've spent a lot of weeks on that, so I don't want to rehash that. But let me just say this. Under the law, we talked about this again last week. Under law, God requires. Under law, what? God requires. So under the law, if I wanted to be righteous in the eyes of God, what did I have to do? Obey the law. Only problem is, you can't do it. How many of you know nobody can keep all the law? No, some of y'all think you can. You don't need Jesus. How many of you know you can't keep all the law? How many of you know that? How many of you know, like the law of cell phones in church? Just kidding. Just kidding. All right, listen, kind of. All right, no, here's the truth. You ready? You ready? Here's the truth. The truth is, under the law, the emphasis was on you. You had to measure up. The way you did it is if you were good enough, you would keep the law. And by keeping the law, you were blessed. The only problem is, how many of you know you can't keep all the law? So there was always this idea of condemnation and guilt and shame because you can't keep all the law. Because see, under the law, God requires. Now watch this. Jesus came and died on the cross. How long ago? So 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and died on the cross. And now listen to it. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Right? Meaning this, under grace, God provides. Under grace, what does God do? God provides. Under grace, God provides. How does he provide? By when we believe on what he did 2,000 years ago, that belief makes us righteous. That belief flows the grace of God into our lives. So get this. You can have the grace of God or the favor of God in your life by works, which you'll never get there because you're never good enough, so you can never qualify. Or believing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, and how many of you know all of us can believe on what he did 2,000 years ago. And because we can all believe, we can all have the free favor of God in our life. It's that simple. Say, Pastor Charlie, it can't be that good. Oh no, it's that good. The rest of my message, you're gonna hear this. Under law, God requires. Under grace, God provides, absolutely. I'm gonna give you one more new thing that before we get into my message. You mean, if you're a visitor, you're like, he hadn't started yet? No. We're just reviewing, all right? Listen to this. Under the old covenant, the key word of the old covenant is obedience. You had to obey. If my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face. And if my people, where's the focus? Us. If we did, God requires us. The focus is us. The focus is me, right? The only problem with this is because of obedience, I can never measure up to. I always have fear, guilt, and shame before God. And the sad thing is we got a whole lot of believers who still believe this is the way God is. They still believe that God is all worried about your obedience. Now, please do not misread me. I didn't say God wants disobedience. I will show you how to get to obedience later, but it's not by your effort. I'm gonna do it. You'll never do it. You're not good enough. You're not qualified. You're not strong enough. You are the problem. You got to get you out of there and get God in there before you can be obedient to God. Yeah. So watch this now. This is so important. Obedience caused fear, guilt, and shame, period. That's what it brought on mankind. So everyone who lived under the old covenant dealt with fear, guilt, and shame. Even the prophets would tell the people, and they would use fear, guilt, and shame to get people to try and obey God. The problem is it never worked. Not for very long anyway, right? You ever tell your kids, you do that again, I'm gonna kill you. How many of you know it only works until you're out of the room? Some of you ain't got kids, I can tell. Yeah, anyway, all right, or maybe not my kids, anyway. All right, anyway, New Testament, get this is so critical. New Testament, faith is the key word. Not obedience, the key word is faith. Because by faith, by believing in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, it causes the grace and favor to flow into your life to free you from sin and to walk in obedience to God. God empowers your life, all right? And now when we apply our faith to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, it causes righteousness, freedom, and life to come into our life. Righteousness, freedom, and life. Now which one do you want to live under? Fear, guilt, and shame? Or righteousness, peace, and life? I say righteousness, peace, and life. And how do we get there? By works? No. Jesus did the work 2,000 years ago. He came as a perfect man, lived the perfect life, laid down his perfect life so that he who was made unrighteous could make us righteous. Right? He was righteous, but he became unrighteous. He became sin so that our sin could be transferred to him so that we might receive his righteousness. And now we're made righteous in the eyes of God. Now, I said all that to bring you to this verse, which here's where I left off last week. I stopped not because I was done, but because I had to shut up. Yeah? Because if I go longer than an hour, a kid's ministry will choke me. Not because I'm done. Oh, no, I go to lunch and do all this all over again. Listen to this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Everybody say new covenant. New covenant. New covenant. The new covenant, not the old covenant. The old covenant was based upon you and your works and your obedience to, to God and the law, right? The new covenant is based on, we need to go back a slide. The old covenant was based upon obedience. The New Testament is based upon faith. Okay, now I'm going to ask you that here in just a second. And the answer is obedience and faith. You got it? All right, now check it out. Watch this. Here it is. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. All right? It's a new covenant. New covenant based upon
faith.
Yes. The old covenant was based upon
obedience.
Y'all are awesome. Listen to this. It says, Israel, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many of you were here last week and remember when I talked about this? All right. Look, it goes on. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none of his brother, saying, know the Lord, for you shall all know me from the least to the greatest of them. Look at this. For I will be what? I will be what? Merciful to their, this is, how many of you know this is new covenant? How do I get this? By obedience or by
faith?
Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith, it's faith. Faith, watch. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. I left last Sunday with this verse. I stopped with this verse. Not because I'm done. I was actually just starting. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. How many of you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I believe what it says. I don't believe a lot of people have an understanding of what it says, but I do believe what it says. And it says that God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will, God chooses to remember no what? No more. He says, I choose to remember no more. Oh, no, let me explain to you. Growing up as a kid, I grew up Catholic. I grew up Catholic in the Catholic faith, all right? And in the Catholic faith, which by the way, y'all don't know this, but I'm still Catholic. I'm just a bad Catholic in my family's eyes, all right? Someone got offended when I said this before, but it's so true. And if you've been Catholic, you know, and I mean no offense by this, but I will say it's like the mafia. There's only one way out. some of you get that later. But here's the truth. As a kid, there was a huge emphasis on sin, and the huge emphasis of sin was me. That for me to be free from my sin and to be right in the eyes of God, I had to go to confession. And for confession, you know, I had to confess what a dirtbag I was and all that I've done wrong, okay? That was a kid. Grew up, moved to Indiana, went to the Baptist church, all right? Went to a Baptist church where we were told about sin. And we were told about we should give our heart to Christ because God will wipe away our sin. So I gave my heart to Christ. Well, only to turn around the next week and be told, you gave your heart to Christ last week, and that's awesome. And they didn't say this in so many ways, but this is what they meant. But if you sin during this week, you better confess it. Because if you don't, you're going to die and you're going to burn in hell because you have sin in your life. So every week, just as I am, one more time, somebody's going to give their heart to Christ. Somebody's going to get saved. And listen, not every time, but y'all hear what I'm saying. For most part, you know, there was this self-condemnation. It's like, oh, I did jack that up this week, and I jacked this up. Maybe I should go to the altar. I messed up. There was this constant awareness of my sin. Constantly. Constantly. And so I would say, okay, I gave my heart to Christ to get rid of my sin. What do I got to do now? Well, you got to confess your sin. I said, okay, so I'm made right in the eyes of God by confessing my sin. Yes. I said, really? Okay. So growing up, before I'd go to bed, I'd say, Lord, I jacked this up and I jacked that up and I jacked this up and I jacked this up. And God, I'm sorry for my sin. And it left me with the idea that, Lord, I hope if I get hit by a train, I don't cuss right before it hits me. Because I'm going to burn in hell. Come on, I'm just being real. All right? I don't talk like that anymore, but at that time it was an issue. Okay? But it left me with this idea. And listen, both Catholic, Baptist, and again, I got pastor friends that are great pastors, love them. It's not about that. I'm just talking about what I grew up with. All right? So first experience, confess your sins to be right in the eyes of God. Okay, so it's based upon me, and it's based upon works, which is the, Go to a Baptist church. It's based upon me, and it's based upon confession, which is a work. So it's based upon me, all right? Then I go to a Methodist church where, well, they didn't talk about sin. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And then I started meeting people and going to Bible college and all that. And then I would meet people that said, Pastor Charlie, well, that then it was Dirtbag Charlie. You don't know nothing about Bible. They said, you're not made right by confession. You need to confess and repent. I'm like, what's that look like? That means you got to come to the altar and you got to bawl and squall and you got to roll around like a pig and you got to say you're sorry like a dirtbag. I was like, good night. I can't keep all the rules. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, that's how you get right with God. I was like, all right. Then I meet other people that are like, no, Pastor Charlie, that's not now I'm Pastor Charlie. No, you're not made right like that. You got to confess your sins. You got to repent, bawl and squall like a pig, and speak in tongues. Because you don't get to heaven unless you're speaking in tongues. I said, so the forgiveness of sins and all that stuff is based upon me. And then I would meet somebody else. No, you got it all jacked up. You got to be dipped in water. You got to go up there and get dipped in water, because if you die before you're dipped, you're dead. Spiritually, you're gone. Because there ain't no confessing that. What you did? Oh, no, that's bad. You need washed. And I was like, what? And I was torn, because I did not want to live sinful or have sin in my life. I wanted to have a relationship with God. But everything that I was around, the focus was always sin. And then one day, I don't know, years ago, I start reading the Bible. Instead of listening to everybody else in their opinion, so spare me. I had someone, last time I taught on grace, they sent me the book Hyper Grace from the post office as a return address. Spare me. Save your money. I read it. Here it is. You ready? I choose to believe what the Bible says. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. If I'm forgiven based upon what I do, what difference is that between this and the law? But if I'm forgiven as a free gift, not because of what I've done, but because what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, and because of what I've done, then it's by grace and faith in him. And can I tell you, that's how we're supposed to live. You're not supposed to live walking around going, oh Lord, I hope I don't sin today. That's actually a sin conscience, and you're yoked to it. Say, Pastor Charlie, I'm not getting it. Okay, when I was a kid, I used to be a DJ at the skating rink. I used to teach people how to roller skate. And one of the worst things you could do, everybody, when they first start learning how to roller skate, first thing they want to do is they want to look at their feet. And I would tell them, don't look at your feet. They're there. And they got wheels on them. You put them on. They're there. The worst thing you can do when learning how to roller skate is focus on your feet. Because you're telling your feet, don't fall. And guess what? You fall. The more you focus on your feet, the more you fall. The less you focus on your feet, the better you skate. Matter of fact, you should get to a point where you don't even think about your feet. They're just part of you. You just kind of roll, man, and do your thing. See, it's the same way with our sin nature. When you focus on I will not sin, I will not sin, it's the same thing as trying to roller skate while watching your skates. And God knew that about us. So God says, you know what? Their sins and their lawless deeds, I remember it no more. It didn't say he didn't see it. It didn't say it didn't go to the cross. It did, and he saw it. But he took all your sins and put them on the cross 2,000 years ago. So that, listen, the extent of some people's spiritual life is this. You ready? Because it was mine for a while. Lord, I didn't jack up anything that I know of today, and if I did, please, God, forgive me. I love you, Jesus. And the focus of their relationship with God is all about what they did or didn't do. How many of you know, if all my kids talked to me about was, Dad, I jacked this up, we would not have a relationship. Matter of fact, my kids walk up to me and go, boy, I hope Dad didn't find out about that. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? And it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Some of you have never heard this before. Some of you believe you're yoked to your sin, that you got to confess it. You got to this, you got to that. I mean, it gets so bad that you can't wear jeans because jeans make you holy. Listen, I got anointed jeans, all right? Well, you know, women can't wear makeup. That's what makes you righteous. And really, really, you got sanctified makeup, praise God. You know? I mean, you all these things? No. Your faith is what makes you righteous in the eyes of God. Your sins and your lawless deeds, he chooses to remember no more. It is a gift from God. You should walk in it. It's the bottom line. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. I call this the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And let me show you, it's all over the Bible. Once I point it out to you, you're going to see it all in your Bible. To open it, this is Acts 26:18. This is the Apostle Paul preaching. He says, to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of what? Satan. There are people that are bound by the power of Satan to God, that they might receive the forgiveness of, that they might receive. Does it say might earn? Talk to me. That they might earn forgiveness of sins? Oh, no, Pastor Charlie, it ain't that simple. I can't just believe that Jesus died and then I'm free from my sin. Well, why are you complicating it? Why are you making it hard? That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees did, and Jesus had a whole lot to say about them. It is that simple, that if you believe on what Jesus did, you have currently, now, the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by dipping in water. Sanctified by their confession, sanctified by their works, sanctified by not wearing jeans, just wearing skirts. If you're a dude, you're confused. by not wearing makeup, by not cutting hair, by not fill in the blank, it doesn't matter, fill it in. The bottom line is, if you do anything to add to it, what you're saying is what Jesus did 2,000 years ago wasn't enough to make you whole. And I declare to you that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago allows you to walk free from your sin because you are free. Yes. Jesus died for it, praise God. Amen? Amen, amen. Look at this. You have the forgiveness of sins. Let me show you something else. In him we have redemption through his what? Through his blood. Notice it doesn't say, and now go and confess. No, the forgiveness of sins. Everybody say, I am. Forgiven. You believe that? I'm going to show you here in a minute. You're forgiven past, present, and future. You're forgiven each and every day of your life. Every day you wake up, you are forgiven. There's not a day that goes by that you should wake up and go, God, I'm a dirtbag and I jacked it all up, and Lord, I just need to pray more. Mm-mm. Is prayer a bad thing? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't think you're going to pray more and make you righteous. How are you made righteous? By believing on him who justifies the ungodly. Your faith is accounted as righteousness, Romans. Amen? Amen? Apart from the law. Apart from your works. Pastor Charlie, then you're saying we don't do the works of God? No. I'll get to that in a minute. Because you do the works of God. You do the works of God. But it's not because you do it. It's because the power of the Holy Spirit living in your life that allows you to walk in them. Not because you in your own effort can do it, because you can't. That's the law. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
All right, praise God. Look at this. Look at this. We do not receive, I received this morning in the shower, which is crazy. Just praying, worshiping, had Pandora on, worshiping God, and the Lord just dropped this into my heart. And I said, oh, that's so good. I got to use that in my message today. Here's what the Lord wants, and I want you to know this. We do not receive God's forgiveness in installment plans. You don't say, God, forgive me for my sin, make me born again, and then you're forgiven. And then tomorrow it's like, oh, God, I jacked that up. Will you forgive me some more? Oh, yeah, here's a little bit more forgiveness. Oh, yeah. And 2 weeks from now, I'm going to jack that. No, and then you're forgiven 2 weeks from now. You have the forgiveness of sins. You have it. It's constantly. It's there. You are in it. You have the forgiveness of sins. And it's supposed to free you to the point that you don't even think of sin no more. It's supposed to free you like roller skating to where you don't even think about your feet no more. You don't even think about it. Watch this. Because by not constantly focusing on it, you free yourself from it. I'll show that to you in just a second here. The goal is a clear conscience of sin in your life. Why? What you focus on develops in you. If you focus on sin, that's what the Old Testament did. Y'all remember? Old Testament, they had to constantly sacrifice things, right? If you jacked up, you had to bring an offering. If you did this, you had to bring an offering. If you did this, and this was a constant lifestyle. It was constantly killing something, slaying something, offering something, constantly. Why? They were reminded continually that they were sinners, right? I see that in believers still to this day. They constantly worry about their sin. And the focus is their sin. Oh, Pastor Charlie, I know God would, but you know what? I messed this up, and then I messed that up. And what happened to your sins and your iniquities? He will remember no more. That's how he feels about it. Think about it. Every time my son and I was to have a conversation, all right? He ripped the bottom of my oil pan off my Roadster about 3 weeks ago. Oh, no, not once. Twice. Synthetic $30 of oil out in front of my house, all over the ground. 7 a.m. Second day of school. It's a happy day. Drove it to school, on his way home, went to Huck's, ripped the oil pan plug out again. Right? Another oil. Then I had to take it off to put the old oil pan back on it, which was a good idea. And there's another whole bunch of oil. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? I done forgot about it. That day I forgot about it. Watch this. Before he did it, I've chosen to forgive my son long before he ever jacks in. I know there's a price to him driving it. He might jack it up. He's 17. He's going to jack it up. But I chose before. Come on, y'all. Are y'all hearing my heart? You hearing me? I chose before because I love him and I value the relationship to forgive him no matter what he does with it. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Your father is the same way. Your father is the same way. Long before you ever, he provided a way to forgive you already. So before you messed up, he already decided to forgive you so he could have a relationship with you. Man, that's good, huh? That's called grace. You didn't do anything to earn it. I forgave my son and paid for the oil. That's grace. That's grace. Amen. Come on, I'm just being real. I'm showing you how it works practically in your life, all right? Now, look at this, Hebrews. Let me show you, this was the goal the whole time with the new covenant, all right? Whole goal the whole time. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made of hands, that is not with this creation. In other words, his own body. Not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for what? Listen, that was it. He did it once for, is that a big deal? Why? Here's why. The reason they had to constantly offer a new sacrifice is because it wasn't pure. It didn't make them righteous. Jesus came and did it once and for, because he was perfect and he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Once for all. So were your sins forgiven 2,000 years ago? Absolutely. How do you get the application of that forgiveness into your life? By faith, not by works. By faith in what he did. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Absolutely, because you believe on him 2,000 years ago and what he did. Come on, that should be freeing to you. That should be freeing to you. Because it says, man, no matter what I do, God loves me. No matter what I do, God cares about me. No matter what I do, God is not far from me. No matter what I do, apart from my works, God has already chosen to forgive me. Oh, Pastor Charlie, you keep preaching like that. People want to go and sin. No, I believe it's the opposite. You start telling them that God has already provided them access to God and he has freed them from their sin, they'll fall in love with the greatest God that he is flat out awesome. They'll see the goodness of God. And the Bible says the goodness of God is what draws men to repentance. They'll see how good he is because he is that good. Look at this. He goes on to say, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, the sprinkling of unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, the perfect sacrifice, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, listen to it, cleanse, come on, your conscience, cleanse your mind of from dead works to serve a living God. God wants you to cleanse. He wants you to have such a recognition of what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross that the consciousness of sin is not even about what you think about. Pastor Charlie, do you think about sin? No. What do I think about? I think about my relationship with God. I love him, care about him. I don't think about sin. I think about my relationship with him. If we're constantly trying to get past our offense to have a relationship with God, you're not going to get far because you'll always feel less than.
Yes.
Because you're not perfect, even though you've been made perfect. How was you made perfect? In Christ. Are you in Christ today?
Yes.
Then you've been made perfect. I could show you that, but for the sake of time, I'll save that for next week. All right? Listen to this. Let me define this, and then I want to show you something. You guys ready? Let's define sin. Sin, fall, fault, offense, sin, trespass, to miss the mark. There's all kinds of different words out there. But more importantly, how many of you know when you sinned? Okay. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, you're lying right now. So that would be sin. How many of you know when you sinned? Come on, we all do. The Bible says to know good, listen to it, to know good and do it not, there that is sin. Everybody get that? All right, now, let's talk about this. You ready? It's going to seem like I went off the reservation, but just hear me, and we'll get there. Noun and verb. Noun and verb. What is a noun? A person, place, thing, or an idea, right? A noun. Person, place, thing, or an idea. What is a verb? An action word. It's doing something. All right? And so listen to this. When you take the word sin can be used as a noun or as a verb. Okay? The noun of sin, noun, is in a connection to the entity of sin which Adam and Eve had. Which we have and are until we are born again. Let me say it this way. You were a sinner in your mama's womb before you came out. Because you got it by birth. Because Adam and Eve's disobedience. Come on, everybody hear that? That's the noun. the entity. Watch this. Verb is you were at the hip hugger. And you lost your wife, your money, your car, and your dignity, and your license. You were verbing. Y'all getting me? You getting me? I'm just trying to say it plain. You were verbing. All right? The noun, listen to this, this is powerful. Most oftentimes, the word sin in your Bible is not a verb, it is a noun, which is talking about Adam's sin in us, right? Now watch this, it's very, very important. Jesus came, died on the cross to destroy the noun. The noun. Why? The noun is what gives the verb power. Jesus did not have the noun sin in him, so he did not verb. Come on, he was born virgin, right? He didn't have original sin in him, so he's free, innocent. He didn't have the entity of sin. You and I were born after Adam and Eve, and we have original sin in us, so we have the noun in us until we're born again. When you're born again, Jesus crushes the noun, but you still have the verb will come out every once in a while. Don't lie. But the verb is empowered by the noun. Jesus knew if he wanted to destroy sin in your life, he had to destroy the noun, and eventually the verb will die in you. Everybody get that? This becomes very powerful when you take this understanding and then apply it to the Word of God. I'm going to show you something that you've probably never seen before. And if you have, just shake your head and say, man, that's awesome, and act like it's all new. All right? 1 John 1:5, popular verse. And I'm going to give it to you. Listen to this, everybody. This is so important. If I can get you just another 20 minutes, just kidding. Give me 10 minutes and we'll be done. This is so important. This will teach you, this teaching right here, it'll change your life and it'll change the way you view God. Okay? I was always taught I had to confess my sins, even then in the military. Now, do I confess my sins? We'll talk about that in a minute. I'll give you the answer to that. But I want to first hit this idea that you're made righteous by something you do. How many of you know there's nothing you can do to make you righteous except one thing, and that is to believe on him who justifies the ungodly. Your faith is what makes you righteous. Okay, now watch this. This is so powerful. It took 4 years of Bible college to get this in the Greek. Here it is. This is 1 John 1:5. Oh, by the way, you can go to BibleHub.com and figure it out in 2 minutes. Took me 4 years. But anyway, all right, I'm a little slow to the party. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now watch, before I get to verse 6, everybody look at me. The book of John, 1 John, is written to the Gnostics at the first chapter and to believers in the second chapter. The Gnostics believed, listen to this, this is so important because it's in our culture even to this day. The Gnostics believed all flesh is evil and all spirit is good. So anything spiritual is good and anything fleshly is bad. Okay? This is where the monks came out of and all those type of ideas came out of the Gnostic movement. Now the Gnostics believed, get this, since all spirit is good, you're a spirit. And since you're a spirit, you don't have original sin. You don't have Adam's sin on the inside of you. That in your spirit, you're good. So a part of our culture. In your spirit, you're good. And your flesh is bad. And if we could just get you out of your flesh, your spirit would be good. The Bible teaches something completely different. It says, in your spirit, without Christ, you're bad. Sinful by nature. Born after Adam. I was born that way. You sure was. With a sin nature on the inside of you. We all were born with the propensity to sin. Come on, y'all hearing me? Okay, now watch. Watch. That's who this is written to. All right, watch this. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the what? All right, now watch. Next verse. But if we walk in the light, a revelation of Jesus, if we walk in a revelation of Jesus, walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses. This word cleanse is a big word. Here's what it means. It's a verb, present, indicative, active. How many of you are blessed right there? You were like, wow, that just blessed me. All right, I'm going to break it down for you. You can hear it. Listen to it. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses. Listen, present, indicative, active. We'll concentrate on the two, the first and last word. We won't worry about the indicative for now, but we could, but not for now. Present, active. What is a present, active word? Present, active. Present, active. Present, which means now. Active means now. It's like now. Like now. Let me give it to you translated. You drive through a mud puddle and you need to go get your car washed at the crew. You go to the crew, you get your car washed. That would be past tense, especially if you said, I went to the crew and they washed my car. Past tense, right? In the Greek, there are seven tenses of a verb. Seven. Watch this. This one is present active, which means your car, to be in the present active voice, according to the Greek, would say it this way. You went to the crew, and now the crew's car wash follows you everywhere you go, and you're driving in the car wash, and the car wash is constantly running over your car, washing your car currently as we speak, right here, right now. Your car is being cleansed. Present active. Come on, everybody get that? Yes. Seems pretty simple. Now listen to it. Listen to it when we apply it to the Word of God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, present active, right now, currently, is cleansing me from all my sin. Now. Right now. When? Now. God is, the blood of Jesus is, cleansing me from what? All my sin. When? Now. Right now, right now. This sounds like Abbott and Costello. Who's on first, what's on second? Right now, God is currently cleansing me from all my sin. Right now, I have, listen to it, I have the forgiveness of sins. I walk in the forgiveness of sins. If I have fellowship with him, then his blood is constantly cleansing me, constantly washing me, constantly. Do I have to do anything to deserve it? No. Do I have to do anything to activate it? No. Do I believe I'm just walking in it freely by the grace of God? Absolutely. Why? Because if we have fellowship with him, he's constantly doing it for me. That's grace, baby. That's grace. That's grace. That's grace. Present, indicative, active. Us from our sin, noun, original sin. I am not under Adam's sin no more. I'm constantly being made new. I'm washed from that. Say, oh, I just don't believe that. Then what you're saying is the blood of Jesus is not enough to wash it away. And how dare you undercut my Lord and Savior like that and what he did 2,000 years ago to get rid of this thing. He did it all. He washed it away. I'm free. And so are you. So are you. So are you. If we say we have no sin, noun, that's original sin. Well, no, God made me this way. No, God didn't make you that way. You have sin in you, original. We all have original sin. And if we say we don't, what's the Bible say? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's not in us. Truth isn't in us if we deny that we have original sin. But aren't you glad if we have fellowship with him, then his blood cleanses us from our original sin? When? Now. When? All the time, praise God. Praise God. Look at this. Next verse. And if we confess our, it doesn't say verb. If we confess our verbs, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No, if we confess our sin, original sin, if we confess that we're a sinner and we need a Savior, guess what? Come on. You see it? If we confess our sin, sins, that noun, if we confess we have original sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. Forgive, it means aorist subjective. Here's what it means. Active meaning present indefinitely. I get so caught up in this, I just love it. If we confess that we have original sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us then and forever. Forever. Listen to it. It's present indefinitely. I'm indefinitely living in the forgiveness of God. Anybody want some of that? That's called grace. Well, no, Pastor, I need to do something for it. No, you don't. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saying, I have original sin. And if you are saying, I have original sin, you are clean. And you can walk free from your sin. And to cleanse us, present and indefinitely, us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not verbed, if we say we haven't sinned, he's saying this, listen, okay, you guys say you haven't sinned. You say you don't have original sin on the inside of you. You ever offended anyone? You ever done anything contrary to what you should be? You ever known good and did it not? If you did, you verbed. And the verb is there as an indication that you have the noun on the inside of you. How many of y'all are with me? You're like, man, we got an English class, but I'm getting it. Hey, listen, you know what I did when I first started studying this? I took my whole Bible and I'd sat there with a Greek lexicon and went and researched every one of those words in the Greek. And back then, we didn't have a laptop to be able to do it in 2 minutes. I had to literally look up every word. It wasn't until Zach just this week showed me how to do it with a computer. It says, if we say we have not sinned, verb, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look at this next verse. This is awesome because now we're going to talk to believers. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not verb. You may not sin. You say, Pastor Charlie, are you saying God don't want you sinning? Yes, absolutely. God wants you to live right. But you're not going to get there by self. You're going to get there by knowing Jesus died for your sins 2,000 years ago and you are free and you can walk in that freedom. You can walk in that liberty. You are completely washed in the blood of Jesus. And because of that, your sins are gone. And you can be free from that thing now in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? You're free. You're free. Absolutely. Well, Pastor Charlie, you said you were going to talk about confession. Should you confess your sins? Let me tell you something. I don't confess all my sins. I don't confess my sins. Here's what I do. When I feel like I missed it, I love God so much, I say, God, my bad. That was dumb. Please help me from doing that ever again. I thank you for your forgiveness that was already applied to that dumb thing I did. Because I don't even know, sometimes you're doing something dumb and you don't even know you're doing dumb. You think you're doing right. Don't lie. It's only afterwards that you're like, oh, that was dumb. Dumb. Right? I thank God that he forgave us before we realized we were doing a dumb thing. That's called grace. God's free favor flowing free in us from our sin before we even acted upon it. God. Now, oh, Pastor Charlie, you're just going to make people want to go sin no more? Go sin. Is that right? Is that the way this works? By you realizing that you are free from your sin, does it make you want to just go out there and hip hug? Come Come on, how many of you know you are free from your sin, so it makes you want to just fall in love with God all the more and just say, man, I'm so glad, God, you're a part of my life. Amen. And if you do want to go hip hug, you need prayer. Yes. Yeah. All right, we're going to stop right there, and I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go on. And watch this. This is so awesome because check this out. If anyone sins, verb, you act on sin, hip hugging, whatever, cussing your neighbor, tearing up their yard, whatever. If anyone sins, verb, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we have any sin, we should go confess it. We should go dip in water. We should go say this. We should go do that. No. If you have sin, get this. You are constantly being washed from your sin. As a believer, it's the gift of forgiveness. You're constantly being made new. God is constantly washing you of your sin, constantly. Therefore, by you being washed in it, there's no reason for you to walk in it because the power of it's been broken off of your life. Amen. And now watch this. And if you do have some, you don't go to the Father. Jesus, the righteous one, says, Father. Father, I died for it. 2,000 years ago, I shed my blood for him. I am their advocate, and I say, God. And God looks over, not exactly, but God looks over and says, you're right, son. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. I remember what you paid for them. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I remember no more. I'm going to treat them as if they were you because you died for them. That's called grace and mercy, man. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees you. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, and he himself is the propitiation of our sins. He is the stand-in for our sins now. And not only ours, but also the whole world. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Are you righteous today?
Yes.
Who got you there?
Jesus.
How long ago? Yeah. Are you a sinner?
No.
No. You've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb, right? Are you righteous?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is Jesus cleansing you?
Yes.
When?
Now.
Oh, every day, baby. Every day, every day. Say, what about tomorrow? Is Jesus already cleansed your tomorrow?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Can you go to God the Father just like a daddy?
Yes.
Absolutely. Can you have a relationship apart from your sin with him?
Yes.
Absolutely. I did my job. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. I'm done.